Good morning. This is Monique Parent, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning, and welcome to Too Much Scrolling for March 12th, 2019. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Hassenflon.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week, Chip, you are continuing your jet-setting lifestyle, and you're in an airport.
I am in an airport. Nothing like being delayed for, 6 hours.
It makes nice.
It makes for a good day. But you know what? I'll be in Orlando, Steve. And Orlando is going to be a lot warmer than Chicago.
There you go. Looking forward to warm temperatures and fun in the sun.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You know, Chip, it is March 12th, and that means it is musical season for me, so I have not seen a TV or a movie screen all week. Have you gone to the movies and seen anything this week?
Steve, I have, but I've been really busy too, but you know, musical season for you means very little sleep. And long, long hours and praying more volunteers show up, right?
Absolutely. There is religion in this. I have to pray to whatever gods I can find that I get enough help to make this happen. Absolutely. So you got a chance to see Captain Marvel, right?
Got to see it at the AMC Theater in South Barrington. And this was one of the big theaters that they have redone with all the latest technology. So I had incredibly clear sound. The screen was blacker than the old ones were, and the seats would shake with the bass that was going
really?
On.
Really?
So it was feast for the eyes and ears, Steve.
And for the rear end.
That's right. It was super exciting.
Wow. So tell me about the movie without spoiling any of it. I accidentally read an article about it earlier today, and I got spoiled on something that I'm really excited about. But tell me about Captain Marvel.
All right. So what I will say is it's not the best of the Marvel movies, but it also isn't the worst. This falls right in with most of the other good ones. I thought it was very similar to Captain America or the Iron Man. And what we're trying to do is establish these characters. And what they end up doing is trying to go back and showing some things that were happening at other parts of the United States. Well, Iron Man was, setting up his stuff. I thought they did a very good job with it. I thought that the people going to it will enjoy it, especially if they enjoy these types of movies. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's set up for the big Avengers movie coming up later in May.
Yeah.
So one of the things I will tell you is that there is this loving tribute to Stan Lee at the beginning of the movie when the Marvel Studios logo shows up. It was all pictures of Stan over the years and all of his cameos in the movie.
Oh,
and
cool.
His cameo in this movie was equally as touching and a moment that people will enjoy. My hope is that he continues to show up in other movies. And even if they have to get an actor to play Stan Lee, he seems to be a fun little... I shouldn't tell you Easter egg, a little find in the movie, and always a nice little wink to the audience.
I have heard great things about the cameo. I don't want to mention too much about it because it is a spoilery moment, but it's really touching that they're paying tribute to the man who was, in a lot of ways, the father of all of these stories. I look forward to Captain Marvel. I really want to make it to this movie sometime, I don't know, after musical season.
Well, I think this movie will have some legs. It was very good. There was a lot of people. It was a packed house to see this. So I did see it prime time, and I was lucky to get a seat.
And you enjoyed it. That's a great review. What's your scale of 1 to 100?
65 out of 100.
So say that for every movie.
Well, this is. Certainly there's nothing that 15 years from now, no one's going to go back and go, oh, I have to watch this film.
You also got a chance to see the documentary Leaving Neverland. This is on HBO, and it's the documentary all about Michael Jackson. The news has been covering this a lot this week.
And rightly so. This was a very damning documentary to Michael Jackson's legacy. And in fact, I think the number of radio stations that are pulling his music off the air, and a number of, I guess, other media groups that are basically renouncing Michael Jackson, I think it's rightly argued in this documentary that he was a child molester. We have two firsthand accounts.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a sad, sad legacy.
It really is. We always knew that there was something about Michael Jackson that we didn't want to talk about. And this child molestation accusation has been out there for a long time. He was never convicted of anything in a court, but there are plenty stories out there. And these two young men in this documentary are putting their story out there.
All right. So what we can say about this documentary is, many times we say things like, oh, Michael Jackson may have had inappropriate situation with a child. And while that certainly can lead your mind to any place that you imagine could go, there is a very graphic part. The gentlemen who are being interviewed are giving graphic detail of what that actually means. And I think that is what cements why Michael Jackson's legacy is going to be a very difficult one to deal with. I mean, we've got this gentleman that certainly, there's been no one in our lifetime that's been on that level. I guess the Beatles could have been on that level to our parents' generation, or Elvis could have been on that level, or maybe even Frank Sinatra on that level. But when you really get down to it, for our youth, Michael Jackson was incredibly big.
The king of pop, no doubt.
Well, I mean, just transcended just superstardom. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I think you leave this going, boy, you wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Absolutely.
Because it's just too much. You know, Sting can be pretty popular, Madonna can be pretty popular, but I don't think they're going to have the type of, I mean, they can go someplace. Jackson couldn't go to the grocery store. Jackson couldn't go to the movie theater. And so you basically become this hermit who obviously has strange things going on in his mind that allowed him to try to experience this. There are more than one moment I was watching this and I got very emotional. I mean, teared up. The parents certainly were very modest, but you know what they allowed their child to do. We've got children, you know, and the first meeting, I mean, he groomed these kids. There's no doubt, and groomed these families. So it gets really ugly. I don't think his legacy is going to be well preserved.
Yeah, you mentioned the radio stations that are no longer going to play Michael Jackson's music. The Simpsons have pulled the Michael Jackson episode from their catalog. This is a moment where we are finally seeing the whole truth, and it's hard to justify seeing this man's legacy in the music and in the dance moves that he was so famous for without seeing this other side of him finally.
All right, so I want to mention a couple of things. One of the criticisms of this documentary is that it is one-sided. And while I don't truly agree with that, it is correct that Michael Jackson and his lawyers are not here to defend his legacy.
Right.
But I think I think that is a fair criticism. I do think this could have been stronger. I mean, I don't know if Corey Feldman had the same experience as these two gentlemen had with him, but it would have been stronger if we had part of this too, who were also childhood friends of Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
But this was really, really odd.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Facebook reactions amongst my peer group saying, you know, I've been struggling with the idea of, can I still enjoy Michael Jackson's art and divorce that from this personal story? And after this documentary, a lot of my friends say, I can't do it anymore. I can no longer support the legacy of this man's art because of these accusations.
Well, in fact, I'll even mention it even further, because I had mixed feelings. I announce Pop Warner football games and lacrosse games, and there may or may not be music being played during some of these events. But what I can say is that I was very conscious of what I would be willing to play, and I chose, if there was music played at all, to play more of the Jackson 5 era material, because I was afraid that some parent would come in and yeah, and say something.
Wow. That's where we're at with this. I'm so sad to know this. I'm so sad that we, as a public, we suspected, but we could always put our money on. He was never convicted. All of the court cases, there was no hard evidence, and this seems to be the turning point here.
He was such a massive star. Mm-hmm. And if someone would have said to you in your youth, whether you were his best fan or not, and said, hey, listen, we've got tickets, chances are you would have gone to see Michael Jackson and you would have absolutely enjoyed it. He truly was a performer. And what we got from the documentary was the performing part and what he was able to mentor and teach these young people was very beneficial to them. But the darker part happened in the evening. And it happened, and it was all the classic things. This is our secret. You know this what this would do to me, and he manipulated everyone. Certainly not a happy story. But anyway, if you have interest in it, it's long. This is I want to say it's a 4-hour documentary. It's divided into two parts, and I ended up having it on. And I just couldn't, when I was working out and working, and I would look up and it was certainly, like I said, more than one time I got emotional. Wow. And we have children, Steve.
And beyond that, I'm a school teacher. I work with children all the time, and I am very sensitive to if this child is being abused, I need to do something legally. I'm legally bound to report any sort of abuse or neglect. And to hear that our King of Pop was neglectful, was abusive, and their parents were a part of this whole conversation, it's heart-wrenching.
Well, this is what we end up learning. Both of the fathers of these families ended up committing suicide. And both of these gentlemen had depression. They had a very difficult time coming to terms with it. They were not homosexual, and they are not currently moving, the molestation to a next generation. One of the gentlemen said that when his son had turned 7 years old, the age that he was when he had met Michael Jackson, he goes, that's where it really started to hit him, because he recognized how young he was at that time. So anyway, this is damning as it can be. It's hard to recommend something like this, but this was very well done. And if you have interest in, this is certainly going to be very damaging.
Yeah. Opening this week, we've got a science fiction story set in Chicago, Chicago neighborhood, a decade after an alien occupation. They are fighting back, and we've got our John Goodman in the cast of this one. It's called Captive State.
Well, I wondered what Roseanne's husband was doing. It looked like he moved to Chicago, and he's going to help fight back the aliens, Steve.
Well, remember, Roseanne is a Chicago show. That is a Chicago-based conversation. John Goodman is a Chicago guy. I look forward to the idea of watching Chicagoans with their accents fighting aliens. The Southsiders are over there. Our second movie is one of those teenage love stories. It's called 5 Feet Apart. A pair of teenagers with life-threatening illnesses meet in hospital and fall in love. Of course they do.
Of course they do, Steve. I mean, what else could we imagine? It seems ready for spring break and ready for spring love, Steve.
Absolutely. This features Haley Lou Richardson, who was in Split and The Edge of 17 in 2016, and Cole Sprouse, who is Jughead Jones on Riverdale currently, but he used to be Cody in The Suite Life of Zack and Cody on the Disney Channel.
Well, my daughter is currently working with the other kids to get the prom together, and there's a lot of love for these Disney shows.
Oh yeah. So
the idea is whether that we'll follow them, I guess, to the movie theater and watch them as they grow up.
All I could say this week is we're all in this together, because my winter musical is High School Musical, and that's exactly all that goes through my head for the last month. There's another teen...
Get your head in the game, Steve.
I'm trying, Chip. I'm trying real hard. There's another childhood story coming to this big screen. Nancy Drew and the Hidden Staircases opening this week. Nancy Drew this time is played by Sophia Lillis, who is Beverly from the It movie from 2017. I look forward to this one.
I do too. And this looks like it's the Nancy Drew and the Hidden Staircase. I think that was the first of the Nancy Drew novels. And this is an updated version of this. So it's sort of a modern take on that story.
I look forward to that one. I also look forward to the animated feature Wonder Park that's coming out this week. This is a children's movie, not necessarily a family film, about a young lady whose imagination comes to life in a magnificent amusement park. The cast on this one is staggering. All-star voices in this one.
And there's a porcupine, Steve. And you know that means that's going to be good. And there's a bear that sleeps a lot.
I like these kind of movies. I know that it's silly. I know it's a children's movie, but Matthew Broderick, Dr. Ken, John Oliver, Milna Kunis, Kenan Thompson, Jennifer Gardner. I could go on. There is a long list of voice talent in this one. I look forward to being silly and watching this silly children's movie. There's a movie called The Aftermath. This is a post-World War II British colonel and his wife are assigned to live in Hamburg during post-war reconstruction. This is a drama.
This is. And what it looks like is during the after the war is over, the German family who lived there must exit. So the British family comes in. Mm-hmm. And Keira Knightley is the wife of one of the gentlemen who lives in there. And looks like that there is a... well, maybe an affair, Steve. And Kieran, I like.
Yeah.
So I've been waiting to see this. This looks pretty good.
And it features Alexander Skarsgård. All movies, by default, have to have a Skarsgård in them. That's the law, Chip.
And there's only one way to say his name, and that is from the pirate convention from Saturday Night Live, Steve.
Well, good news, Chip. There's another Alexander Skarsgård film opening this week. This one's called The Hummingbird Project. It's about two high-frequency traders who go up against their old boss in an effort to make millions in the fiber optic cable industry.
So this stars Mark Zuckerberg.
No, that's Jesse Eisenberg. He just looks like Mark Zuckerberg because he played Mark Zuckerberg in a different movie. Also, Salma Hayek is in this one.
Exactly. And of course, Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah, that one looks like a good one. I'm surprised it's coming out in the middle of March and going up against musical season. There's another one called Yardie. This is directed by Idris Elba, the directorial debut from handsome up-and-comer Idris Elba.
Well, in fact, this looks pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Kind of an interesting take on it. I look forward to watching this.
There's a movie called The Mustang. This is the story of Roman Coleman, a violent convict who's given the chance to participate in a rehabilitation therapy program training wild Mustangs.
I'm assuming it's based on a true story, Steve. This is all ready for summer, right? Right, summer streaming. That's where I'm going to say we got to get it out early enough to get ready for streaming.
I just assume this is Dances with Horses. There is a pair of police officers coming out of retirement to watch the infamous outlaws Bonnie and Clyde. That's the movie The Highwaymen. This one is based on true events and features Kevin Costner alongside Woody Harrelson. I want to see this movie.
Well, it's also got Kathy Bates, Steve. And finally, we can find out what happens to the cock-a-doody story at the end.
That's what you focus on is misery. I love Woody Harrelson. I love watching Woody Harrelson in everything. Having him alongside an acting genius like Kevin Costner, this is going to be a good movie, I think.
Hopefully he doesn't Munson it, Steve.
There you go. There's a movie called Triple Frontier. These are five former Special Forces operatives who reunite to plan a heist. This is a heist movie with five Special Forces guys. One of them is played by Ben Affleck. The other one is played by Oscar Isaac. And then there are three other guys.
So this stars Bruce Wayne, I think.
I don't know. Can we say that anymore? Ben Affleck has been kicked out of the Batman universe. So, yes, Bruce Wayne and the rebel that should have been shot from The Last Jedi get together and plan a heist.
Well, there you go, Steve.
On Netflix, Arrested Development Season 5 is hitting this week. How about that?
That is pretty amazing. This is maybe a story about nothing. This is like the legacy of the Jerry Seinfeld show. Am I right?
Sort of. I agree that there's a legacy thing going on with Arrested Development. I don't know that there's an audience for it anymore.
I don't know, but it's on Netflix, Steve.
It's there for you. That's all I can tell you. Also, having gone past and forgotten about last week, we're going to backtrack and tell you that American Gods Season 2 is on Stars for you right now. That started on March 10th.
The producers and director of the first season, they left because the budget was changed.
Okay.
And we have a lot of actors who were pared down for this season 2. Neil Gaiman, in response to that, was brought in. He's going to take a lot more of a hands-on approach. Season 1 was excellent. If you haven't seen it, there are a bunch of adult situations in it, but very, very good series. And I look forward to seeing season 2. And by the way, Neil Gaiman's writing an American Gods book 2 also. So maybe all this material that he's writing for this series is going to make its way into a book eventually.
Fantastic. We love Neil Gaiman. His writing is top notch. Book it. Brings us to our book at our book of the week. You've gotten a chance to read 0-1 Notes on Startups or How to Build the Future. This is by Peter Thiel and Blake Masters.
All right, so Blake Masters was a student at Peter Thiel's graduate class or class on entrepreneurship at Stanford University. And these were his notes. So Peter Thiel basically took his notes based on his teaching, and they released it as a book back in 2014. I've been wanting to read this for a long, long time. I'm really sad I didn't read this earlier, Steve. This is a really good book. It's basically a book of questions, how to think like an entrepreneur.
So let's back up just a step. Who's Peter Thiel?
Oh, who is Peter Thiel, Steve? He's the other half of the Elon Musk, isn't he? Elon Musk and Peter Thiel founded PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
So PayPal is a service, a buying service, that basically you can use it on the internet. It takes the place of maybe Visa or MasterCard. It allows you to transfer money from one party to another very easily. And it was revolutionary as time. The idea was to lower the transaction cost of that transfer and also make it much more seamless.
Right.
So he talks a little bit about that in the book. Ultimately, They were trying to find a market for this, and they could spray it anywhere they want to. But it wasn't until eBay really came into being, the eBay that we know, and people were bidding on products, and this allowed both parties to receive their payments, transfer those payments much faster than the clumsy way they had before. So it really was their connection to eBay, and eBay eventually bought PayPal, that really made it kind of a fascinating company, and the company that allowed Elon Musk to go out and create SpaceX and Tesla and all those other companies that he did. And for Peter Thiel, he's also a venture capital and investor at this time too.
So what did you learn from 0-1?
I learned basically how to ask questions. When we're talking 0-1, 1 would be something that could change the world, could be revolutionary. And 0 and moving towards 1, most of the growth that we've had in China has been horizontal growth. It hasn't been vertical growth. And what that does is it allows an area like China to have a lot of growth very quickly as they basically start adopting, when I say a Western way of doing things, they get airports and buildings and they move from sort of this rural existence to more of an urban existence and they're industrializing. But that really is not changing the world from 0-1. And so if you think of some of the projects, say Elon Musk is working on, the roof that could be the cost of your normal roof, but it could, through the solar panels, be able to replace your electricity. Well, that is a 0-1 type of a moment because it could revolutionize on our need for electricity. Well, this is exactly what Theo was talking about. He said, you're not going to be the next Bill Gates. You're not going to be the next Mark Zuckerberg. You're going to be whatever you find that could, you know, be game changer. Google is a good example. You know, there was a lot of search engines at that time. There was Ask Jeeves and... Okay,
my search engine of choice was Yahoo at the time.
Well, Yahoo came in and it was revolutionary. I mean, mm-hmm. It was the big, big deal. But as soon as Google came on the market, it basically made everybody else obsolete.
Yep.
The other thing that I really thought hard about, and I still am, it keeps going on in my brain, is nobody wants to be in true competition with everybody. He uses the example, if you're the best British restaurant in your area, and you keep telling everybody how great you are, you're still competing with all the restaurants in the area. So if you want to go into competition with someone, you guys can duke it out all you want, but you're just in a lot of competition with you. It's not game-changing. You go out of business, another restaurant could come in and take your place, or not. There's plenty of restaurants out there. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to change the world, you need to be thinking about something that will dominate the industry. Google doesn't talk about the competition search engines anymore because it's basically been answered, right? We all use Google or use some, you know, Bing or something like that, but they're all small players. In fact, Google's mm-hmm. name has become a verb. So you're not going to change the world by creating a better search engine unless it's really going to take over the power position that Google has. He talks about how to position yourself. He talks a little bit about how to think about startups, how to find things that basically at some point will just not have competition. It means, in some ways, maybe a natural monopoly. I'm not talking about a monopoly that is harming the system. Basically, one that we just chose to use. And most of us, if we're going to use a search engine, we're just going to go to Google for that. Many of us use Amazon or use Walmart. It's not because there's not alternatives, but because we just naturally do it. And so that is the type of power position you want to be in. It's a very fascinating book on questions you should ask yourself. And especially if you're a person who would like, instead of just working in society, would like to change society.
Wonderful. That's 0 to 1, Notes on Startups or How to Build the Future by Peter Thiel and Blake Masters. You can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
See, why are you wearing a black robe with a reaper? I mean, that looks kind of scary, man.
It's kind of grim. Is that what you're trying to say?
It is grim.
You're in an airport and you have no idea what I'm wearing. I do have all black on right now because...
Is that how you feel on the inside, Steve?
Yeah, there are some sad stories in the world this week, and a lot of them involve a lot of wonderful people who have passed away.
We're going to talk about death now, Steve.
Yeah, let's end the show on a high note.
Well, Luke Perry passed away.
Yeah, we lost Luke Perry. I was not a huge fan of Beverly Hills 90210, but I was very aware of it. It was definitely part of the cultural landscape of the 90s.
Well, it was one of the big shows that was filmed near where I live, down in North Carolina, down in the Wilmington area. So when I would watch the show, you would say, oh, I know where that place is, and I know where that place is. And we actually know some people who worked on that show, too. So it's we're sad that he's no longer with us.
Yeah, and to go so suddenly in his early 50s, stroke is a danger you should really be aware of and make sure you're protecting yourself against sudden tragedies like Luke Perry.
Well, that's the reason why we go and get physicals, Steve, because they take your blood pressure and you know, they look over your body. And, you know, when you start getting up to 50 years old or so, you know, not that we know anybody who would be that old. I mean, let's be honest.
Right.
At some point, your body just starts saying, hey, listen, you remember all that talk about you, ain't? Yeah, we're going to start fighting back now.
Yeah. It's just a sad tale to hear of the passing of Luke Perry. Also, King Kong Bundy, the oversized wrestler from the WWE, passed away this week.
Well, that's sad too, Steve.
he's one of those figures from the golden age of the WWF when Hulk Hogan and King Kong Bundy were on screen. I was watching intently, so I'm sad to see him go. But even more sad today, the passing of my childhood continues. Wizzo the Wizard from Bozo Circus, the magician Marshall Brodeen, passed away this week.
Well, that's sad. He was a clown, right, Steve?
I would consider Wizzo to be one of the clowns on the circus. He called himself Wizzo the Wizard, and he did a little bit of clowning, but he was a sleight-of-hand magician who would go out and do his magic act when he wasn't on camera with Bozo. It, very big influence on my childhood, and I'm sure we can get a hold of Tim Kate, our resident magician, and I bet you that Wizzo the Wizard is on the list of his influencers, too.
Sure.
Jan Michael Vincent, the heartthrob from Airwolf, passed away. We only heard about it this week. He actually passed away almost a month ago now, and that's a sad story. But even more touching, even more sad, is one of our dear friends, Jennifer Adams Kelly, one of the biggest parts of Chicago TARDIS, our Chicago Doctor Who convention. She unfortunately passed away this week as well. And all of the podcasts about Doctor Who and all of the podcasts that are Chicago based that have some connection to Doctor Who have been giving their stories of what Jennifer meant to them. And for us, she came on the show in 2016 and she talked to us about her love of Doctor Who and the conventions and the community that we've built at Chicago TARDIS. So I'm very sad to hear of the passing of Jennifer Adams Kelly.
I am too, and I'm glad we had the opportunity to spend some time with her and have a conversation. Obviously, having a passion is something that we always look for in people, and her love of this topic, you know, we just showed through on the time we spent with her.
Yeah. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and Spotify. You can find us there, kids. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Hessenflaw.
In an airport.
Exactly.
We'll see you in the future. You're like Tom Hanks living in the airport right now, right?
I'm going to be living in the airport for a long, long time.